Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turteltaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining to me today from Denver is Kirsten Liston. Kirsten is the founder and principal of Rethink Compliance. Kirsten, thanks for taking the time to join us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Adam.
So we're going to talk today about emerging trends when it comes to compliance training. And it's one of those things I think is a perennial topic because as training evolves, people get used to it, they want something new. One of the things that's happened that's really started, I guess, about 17 years ago when I first got involved in compliance was the trend towards moving the training online from face-to-face. Now people are starting to think, is that enough? So why do you think there's this reason that this really isn't enough for people?
Yeah, well, it's interesting that we're starting with this as the first question, because I think it's a question the industry is really asking itself is like, what does training need to look like today to be effective? Funny enough, you and I started in the compliance industry right around the same time. This September 4th will be my 18th anniversary of joining compliance. But back then, you know, in the year 2000, I joined a company that had this idea like, hey, why don't we take compliance training and put it online? You know, our antitrust lawyer can stop flying around the world with his or her presentation. And that at the time was cutting edge, right? But in the 18 or so years since that time, the digital world has really changed. And, you know, today there's a difference between being online and being good at being online. And the more that I think all of us spend our time in the digital space and the more we get used to things that were made for the digital world, the more we notice when something really wasn't made for the digital world. So I wrote some of the first online courses back in 2000. And as trends evolved, as you know, digital life evolved, I helped create new formats for them. They were great at the time. I wouldn't roll them out today. So the thing that I would observe, I'm sorry, I'm giving you a long answer, but about the digital world today is that I think what we all expect is for training to feel effortless when you go on Facebook, when you try, you know, maybe shop on Amazon or whatever, it all feels effortless. You know, technology companies have really worked hard to have the internet be a really attractive place to spend time with information that's really engaging, and everything is seamless and effortless. So if compliance training isn't really delivering that experience, it's kind of jarring. You notice it. It's different from the other stuff you encounter online.
Yeah, there's definitely a different flow to formal training. I just actually had to look at some for something unrelated to work and found myself struggling a little bit waiting for, you know, images to change, for the video to go, all of that. We're not used to that in the rest of our online experience. Now, one of the things that's a big factor, obviously, today is everything switching to mobile, it seems. You can get anything and everything on your phone. Is mobile training, such as, you know, a full course you can take on your phone, really effective, are you finding?
Yeah, my opinion about mobile versus desktop is that you have to create training that works on both, because different people have different preferences. You know, I like to read Kindle books on my phone. Some people don't. I am not very good at listening to podcasts. Some people listen to them all the time. And different people will get information different ways. So you have to create training that's kind of effective wherever it is. I mean, you know, there are people who will happily go through a 10-minute training on their phone because it's normal for them to be on their phone. But I will say that with mobile being a factor, it really has changed what we actually do on desktop training. I was part of taking kind of desktop training and adapting it for mobile maybe 5 or 6 years ago. And what we found is, you know, you would take these paragraphs that look totally normal on your screen, and to make it look normal on mobile, you had to really be thoughtful and edit and condense it into about 2 sentences and be clear about your points. And then once you did that for mobile and it worked on mobile, I remember I looked at those sentences and I thought, well, we want the same sentences on desktop. You know, why go back to the paragraph? So I think it's important to design for a mobile world because everybody has mobile devices, but then design in a way that regardless of where you take it, it's effective.
Yeah, I think it was Marshall McLuhan had that great line, the medium is the message. And I think one of the things that you're pointing out here is that the message has to fit the medium. And realize you can't just move things over. One thing I will disagree with you on is you talk about some people like podcasts and some don't. As someone who does podcasts, I think we should make the statement that everyone should like podcasts.
Everyone should like podcasts. I know, and my husband listens to them like 24/7. A lot of people are always sending me podcasts. I'm not good listening to podcasts because I like to skim and scan and go to different places, and I haven't found a way to do that with podcasts. But all that said, I think I'm an outlier. I'm an anomaly. Most people love podcasts.
They do, and the numbers for us show it, though I have to say that for me, as someone who doesn't commute and has the virtue of being spared of that, I don't have the time that many do. So let's talk about the training. You know, we've talked about to date some of how it's changing, what the challenges are. What are some of the ways that someone, you know, who's a compliance officer can help increase the value that people are getting from the training?
Yeah, totally. I think the best way to increase the value of what people are getting from the training is to make really good training. And I'll say that in the early days of training, the technology was really the hurdle. You know, I mean, back when you and I started in the compliance business, if you wanted to make an online course, you had to build the tools to do it. There wasn't course authoring software. And now we live in a world of like website builders and animation programs, and the tools and the technology aren't the problem. The things I think really matter are, number one, really deep compliance expertise. You have to know compliance so well that you know how to distill down your message to the really essential elements. You have to know a topic and your audience well enough so you really know how to identify what do these people need to know right now. So deep compliance expertise, kind of a facility with being able to communicate online, making stuff that is, it gets to the point, it looks good, it's engaging, it's, you know, it's something that someone, if they wouldn't necessarily seek it out on their own, they're at least not going to have their attention wander from. And then I kind of think there's a quality of taste. You know, we live in a world where there's so much information that you always have something competing kind of for your attention or your time. If you don't like the online course you're taking, you can watch videos on your phone and just click the next button. And so, you know, how do you make something that's actually really a good communication product in and of itself so that people don't just tune it out?
It's definitely an argument for focusing on engagement and what's really going to get people to think about it. Now, one of the ways that a lot of folks have looked at in terms of trying to make the training more engaging is make it more game-like, or they talk about the term gamification of training. Does that really work, or is it just something that's kind of cool and fun and different?
Yeah. Well, I think it's like anything else, it works when it works. I think gamification is a proxy for how do we get people to care about this, right? Ultimately, the goal is how do we get people to care about this? Gamification is one way. You know, I don't know, 6 or 10 years ago or whenever kind of gamification became a buzzword in our industry, I was at a company and we thought, well, we know, we'll make something where whenever you answer a question right, somebody kicks a soccer goal into the net, and you know, if they don't, or soccer ball into the net, and if they don't like soccer, we'll make a baseball one, and if they don't like baseball, we'll make a bowling one. Ultimately, I don't know that the average professional really cares to sit at their desk and score bowling points. You know, gamification in that model was kind of trying to be a proxy for getting them to care, and I think it's probably possible to build a compliance course with some gamification elements built in. And there are interesting, you know, games that people are trying. I think there's some promise in kind of taking business situations, start with a business exercise and try to get people to go to business goals and only later reveal maybe that it's a compliance exercise. But basically, I would say that gamification is a proxy for getting someone to care. So instead of starting by saying, I want a game or I want to gamify something, I think you start by asking, how do we actually get people to care about this? What about this matters to them?
Yeah, it's a good reminder that you need to stay focused what your objective is, and that gamification is just one strategy for achieving it, and don't let the strategy become the objective. We hear a lot of discussion recently about shorter training, frequent reminders rather than the full-on 40-minute or an hour course.
Right.
But there's some topics obviously that you can't adequately address in 5 minutes or 3 minutes mm-hmm. or 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. What's the right balance?
Yeah, it's interesting. 45 minutes is a lot longer than it used to be for what, whether it's a piece of media or a course or whatever. It's funny, we actually just wrote a bribery course that's about 5 or 6 minutes long. We have a woman on our staff who came to us from the advertising world, and she's amazing at kind of taking compliance concepts and boiling them down to what does this person really need to know or what really matters. And she wrote this script based on, you know, the compliance concepts we'd given her. And I sat there and thought, well, I think everything's here, but this seems too short. And I sent it to one of our lawyers, and they said, well, no, everything's here. So I think you'd be surprised at how much ground you can cover in a short amount of time. But, you know, I agree with you. There are some very technical topics, like, let's say, interaction with healthcare professionals or something like that, where you might need to take up more space. But the first thing I would say is you would be amazed at how much you could cover in a short amount of time. And then secondly, I think that going along with shorter training, frequent reminders are what makes sense going along with shorter training. Tell people enough to get them oriented in a situation. Give them the key concepts, tell them what to look out for, and then follow up frequently. There's a really great book called Make It Stick, The Science of Successful Learning. And that really makes the case for a couple things about learning. But one of them is how much reminders and testing really stimulate memory, so that if you tell somebody something one time and never tell them again, you know, they'll lose 70 to 90% of it within a very short amount of time. But if you tell somebody something and then frequently remind them, test them on it, you name it, their retention is a lot higher. So I would say we're able these days to do many, many compliance training topics in 10 to 12 minutes, but then it makes sense to follow those with frequent reminders.
Well, it's certainly consistent from my 13 years I spent in ad agencies that, you know, when we thought about advertising for clients, you had to realize that you couldn't expect somebody to see an ad once and act on it, remember it, and take it away, that you had to keep reminding them. And we used to actually set goals of how much frequency a target would have to see it. So it's interesting. You know, we've come twice on the topic of how advertising and compliance training are related, right. Which, you know, is good for people to start thinking a little bit outside the box as to other forms of communication that may be relevant. Well, Kirsten, thank you so much for taking the time to share your thoughts on this. There's obviously a lot for us to consider, and I think we'll all be constantly and periodically reevaluating what we're doing so that we can better educate people and reflect how the communication landscape is changing around us. I also want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA saying, I hope we were able to expand your compliance perspectives.